Over the next few Sundays, we'll be examining the gifts of Christmas. I've been looking forward to preaching this series for a while, and I always get so excited with anticipation as Christmas comes. When I was a little boy, it was the gifts under the tree. But now, as I'm older, it's rediscovering again the gifts that are ours in Christ.
See this box? This is a gift for the whole family. You see, we are a Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving dinner type of family. As soon as the stuffing is in the Tupperware, boom, we are setting out ornaments and lights. And truth be told, the lights stay out till mid-January, at a minimum. Now, that may be because we just love the Christmas atmosphere and the Christmas spirit, or we're just lazy. I mean, we were devoted to the tradition of it, to the routine of it. I think in our hearts we just got lazy. We have this tradition where every Christmas we would all set up the nativity scene. And we'd set it out diligently, routinely. It was almost as if we were just trying to get through that next hurdle so we could watch our Christmas movies. So I had this idea. That's right. I stole baby Jesus. I plucked him right out of there. I started doing this about 4 years ago. I wanted him to mean something when he was in the manger. Now, I know what you're thinking. What? Why would a sane man hide the baby Jesus during Christmas? And I think therein lies the problem. A, I'm not that sane. And B, for me, Jesus was becoming just another ornament. And I just didn't want him to be that anymore. I wish you could have been there that very first year. It was bedlam.
Where's baby Jesus?
Who took him?
The mystery of baby Jesus' whereabouts was on the forefront of everyone's minds. And then before you know it, I started throwing out these little ransom notes. And then people were searching for clues. And every night at dinner table, they would come up with these new theories. For 3 weeks straight, our house was cloaked in conspiracy.
I wonder where he is.
Me too.
Me three. Me four.
Now, I may not be the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I do know, and I was raised to know, that the most important thing about Christmas is to seek Christ. And that's why I hide the baby Jesus. My kids, they've gotten so into this. 2 years ago, they made shirts that said, keep calm and find Jesus. And last year they made a Facebook and they posted everything on it. You wanna know where I hid baby Jesus this year? I hid him in our flower bed. Yep, gave him a little ransom note. Their last clue was this, Ephesians 5:2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The fragrant offering part kind of confused my little one. She kept trying to look for him in the bathroom. Anyway, it took them a while, but they finally found him. I still got it. So, I have to go back out and hide him again. Because we will not open this gift until Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll turn off the phones and the TVs. And I'll just be quiet. He came into the world quietly. And I just want my family to absorb this. And then we will open up this gift, this amazing, God-breathed, prophecy-filled gift. And we will sit around as a family, and we will talk about why Jesus was the greatest Christmas gift ever.
The gift of expectancy. You know, we all feel like that dad sometimes in that video, don't we? Thanksgiving's put away, and man, it is full steam ahead into Christmas. Do you have any rules about Christmas music in your house or in your car? Like, no, I'm not going to listen to it until after Thanksgiving, even though you start hearing it in late July in the malls and stuff, it seems like. Any rules in your house about the decorations? Or do you do things just because that's what my parents did and their parents before them, and it's just kind of a family tradition? But as you watch that video, if you're anything like me, you're sitting there thinking of the various places in your house you could hide a baby Jesus figurine out of a nativity set. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, I could hide that baby Jesus, but not the good baby Jesus. I could hide the plastic one from Aunt Sally, but not the porcelain one from Grandma. So what is this Christmas stuff all about? Another word you hear sometimes at Christmas is the word Advent. The Advent season. The dad in this video gets Advent. You see, Advent means arrival. And this season is all about preparing our hearts for the arrival of Jesus. In the Bible, in Luke's gospel, God gave some clues to the whereabouts of baby Jesus. They're right there in Luke chapter 2. See, he gave these clues to some shepherds who were out in the fields watching over their flocks on that special night. You know this passage of scripture. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And so those shepherds took off on the greatest treasure hunt of their lives. God the Father had made arrangements for the greatest gift the world would ever receive, that his Son would come into the world. And God gave the clues to the shepherds that night. And verse 10 of Luke 2 tells us about this heavenly gift, that this gift was good news for all the people. Now, upon receiving these clues about the whereabouts of the Messiah that was born that night, it was excitement and expectancy that caused those shepherds to push forward into Bethlehem and to seek and seek and seek until they found where Jesus was at. So maybe the dad in the video is on to something. Maybe Jesus has become something of an ornament in our lives. And maybe we need to seek him all over again. And so if you follow along in Luke's gospel, in chapter 2 to verse 16, the Bible says of these shepherds, "So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger." I want you to remember this if you're seeking God. that God will never lead you on a wild goose chase? Now, does everybody understand that term, a wild goose chase? A wild goose chase is something that's pointless. No matter how hard you try, you can't ever catch the wild goose. He either runs faster than you or he flies away. But God doesn't lead us on those kind of hunts and chases. The Lord says, if you seek it, you'll find it. Do you remember playing this game as a child? Maybe it's played by you today. All right, I've got a peppermint candy here. Okay, Gary, I'm going to put it behind my back here. All right. Okay. You know the game, right? Guess which hand it's in. Take a guess. Because you see, the fun, the expectancy, is him trying to figure it out. But I'm a loving father. And so if this was my child, I'm going to make sure that before he gets so frustrated that he gives up, that he finds what he's looking for. I'm not going to look at him and go, well, you know what? After your third time, I could go, well, life's full of disappointments, isn't it? And then turn around and walk off. Our Heavenly Father doesn't do that either. His intention is to give us every good and perfect gift. If you look at the newsletter that Judith puts together in the article that I wrote for this latest edition, I have this verse in there. It's James chapter 1 and verse 17. In fact, I asked Judith to include this graphic. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is the Father of lights who gives us good and perfect gifts. I love that term that James uses, Father of lights. You see, that's an ancient Jewish term that refers to God and describes God for his unique creative ability. He is the one who made the heavens. He's the one that put the sun in the sky in the day and the moon at night. The Father of lights ties all the way back to the very first gifts in creation, where on the first day of creation in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." He is the Father of lights. The video we watched a moment ago, that father at first was seeing the holiday of Christmas as just another hurdle to jump over. Something to get through right after Thanksgiving because it's traditional. And then something inside him went, "No, stop. Wait a minute. This year is going to be different. This year is going to be filled with fun and expectancy." And our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, since day one of creation, has been bestowing good and perfect gifts into the world of his creation. So the act of God giving his son Jesus, it comes out of his giving and caring nature. Jesus talked about this same giving, caring nature of the Father of lights in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Jesus said, "Is there anyone among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" God is a great dad in heaven who loves to give good gifts to his children. Continuing with that idea of God giving gifts to us, the good and perfect gift we need, Jesus said the words that we're so familiar with in John chapter 3. He says, "For this is the way that God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned. The one who does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not believed in the one and only Son of God." Now notice what comes next. "Now this is the basis for judging, that the light has come into the world. And people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil deeds hates the light and does not come to the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that it may be plainly evident that his deeds have been done in God." The Father of lights, his nature is to give good gifts. He loved the world. He loved you. He loved all of us. And he demonstrated that by saying, "Here is the greatest gift of all." Goodest is not a word, but I'm going to use it. I know the correct word is best, but it's the greatest and the goodest gift, Jesus. So Jesus, born in the manger, and the angel said, "For I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people." But I want to ask you this question: which Jesus? Which Jesus are you going to have this Christmas? You're going, "Wait a minute, I thought there was just one." Well, hear me out. This is a true story. There was a woman, her name was Charlotte, and she ran a Christian preschool out of her church. And as Christmas season was approaching one year, she bought a plush toy. It was a nativity set. And the centerpiece was a plush toy baby Jesus. This plush toy is smiling. He's all squishy and cuddly. And some of the elders in the church and some of the parents of some of those preschool children got upset about that, because they thought, you know, that's not appropriate for Jesus to be portrayed as a plush toy. He ought to be very special and expensive. But Charlotte didn't hesitate in her response. When she was confronted with this, she knew the question she needed to ask. She asked the elders of the church and those parents that were so upset. She said, "Which Jesus do you want your children to know? Do you want your children to know the very delicate and breakable Jesus that's put high on the shelf, out of reach? The one that's always looking down on them? Or do you want the Jesus that's huggable? The one they can sit with on the couch? The one they can play with? The one they can talk to? The one that comforts them when they're hurt? The one they can tell all their secrets to? Which Jesus do you think the kids ought to have?" That's a question for you and me. Which Jesus are we expecting at Advent? The one who joyfully plays games with us and celebrates life with us? Or the one that sits on the shelf and comes out on Sunday and then gets put back in the religious box and put away before the day's end? Jesus is the light of the world. Over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus refers to himself that way. In John 8:12 is one of those verses where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." You know, on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, the Father did give the gift very similar to day one of creation when he was known as the Father of Lights. His light was born into the world. And so now, I want to encourage you to play a different kind of hide and seek. Does it seem like the Lord's hiding from you? Well, the Bible says, seek him. But that puts a whole other question on our plate. How can a person come back home to God, the Father of Lights, when that person is feeling far away from God, or they're going through a dark time in their life? Well, the dad in the video mentioned a verse. It's Jeremiah 29:13. "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, let me give you the context of that verse. God gave those verses to the prophet Jeremiah right before his people went into exile. Some 600 years, a little less than 600 years, but about 600 years before Jesus came, God had the prophet Jeremiah write these words down to give hope and encouragement and the gift of expectancy to people that were going to be taken thousands of miles from their home and enslaved. The story of their lives was entering a dark phase. To them, it seemed like God was far away, that the darkness of their lives would never end. And here's the message God said for them. "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you if you seek me with all your heart and soul." God, the Father of lights, always gives good gifts to his children. And God was promising his people, "I'm going to make a way for you to come back home. And I want you to seek me with all your heart and all your soul. And you will find me." Jeremiah is not the only voice in the Bible that speaks this truth. Jesus said this same thing in another way. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek," underline that, "seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." I have a second piece of peppermint candy. So I play the game again. And like Gary, you keep guessing my left hand. And you keep seeking God, and you keep seeking God, and you keep seeking God. And you're like, "God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you?" The Lord says, "Keep seeking." Because the Lord knows that sometimes we need the process of being a seeker. So that when we do discover Jesus, when we find God again, the joy is greater. And eventually we choose the right hand, and God smiles and goes, "Here I am. Here I am." Seek God with all your heart. And God says, "You will find me." So are you going to seek Christ this Christmas? Maybe you need to snatch baby Jesus out of your nativity set at home if you have one. And hide it. And give clues. Maybe you need to do something very meaningful for you this Christmas. So this Christmas, what does God want from us? Well, God wants something from me, Well, you know, I think it's hard to shop for my parents, you know. What do you get my parents? Because they're at the stage of life, if they want something within reason, they just go get it, you know. They really don't need anything, you know. So what do you get your parents? Well, think about God, who literally has everything. So what do you get God for Christmas? Some of you might have some of these old wooden fixed nativity sets. I mean, where everything's in place, and over the years, piece here gets broken, you know. That little nephew comes over and the cow's gone, you know. It gets knocked down, and whoop, there goes one of the shepherds, and you know, and they get set aside. I'll glue that one back on later, but, you know, over the years, and the shepherd gets lost, or, you know. You've got some pieces missing, is what I'm saying, maybe in your nativity set if it's older. Well, maybe the Lord wants you to fill in some of those empty spaces. Bring back some of those lost pieces. Maybe there's some people you know that need to come and bow before Christ and worship. And maybe they need to be brought into the nativity scene. So, maybe in honor of the Lord, I need to go shovel a sidewalk for somebody in need. Maybe I need to go Christmas caroling to bring some light and joy into the life of someone. Maybe I need to invite that friend to church. Maybe I even need to smile and say Merry Christmas as I'm reaching for the last can of red sugar sprinkles for my Christmas cookies in the grocery store, and his hand snatches them off the shelf right before I can get them. And I need to smile and look at that person and say, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and not do it sarcastically, but from your heart. You know, when you do those things, in that moment, you have found baby Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us the perfect gift of Christ. And Lord, you are holding Jesus out to us with a smile on your face. Lord, may we be seeking him, and may we receive him this Christmas. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's all saved.